Welcome back to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike, and I got my line mate Matt with me. Today, we're going to go over the last two Blackhawks games and some hockey news. Matt, one thing I want to talk about, man, is coaching for the Blackhawks. How do you coach a team that is destined to lose?
That's a great question. I mean, you go out there and you put out the best possible lineup you can do and make sure they play a full 60. And at least you call them out when you got like boneheaded, lazy plays and try to change it up. I feel like the only guy the Hawks were hard on this year was Reichel. And he got punished. He got sent down. And I've seen a number of players that have played worse than him that are still here. You know, it's just, it's very weird to me. This, I think we were talking earlier, the second half of the season, I think the coaching has been pretty weak in my opinion.
It's kind of hard to kind of go out there and coach a team that's designed to lose, but the fans want to see win, especially when you've got a brand new, you know, hot draft pick that's scoring and, you know, he's putting up points, but the team is just designed not to be very, very good. They have been competitive in a lot of games. And I think that now that we're heading into, say, like the last month of the season, that, that these guys are going to be able to kind of just put out whatever they've got left out there and head into the off season early and start, you know, get that time off that they need and then start getting ready for next season. We'll have to see what Davidson does in the off season, but you know, the guys seem to be somewhat on a coast mode right now where it's like, hey, let's just get this over with, so that we can, retool for next year.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Like you could tell with some of the guys, like their emotions on the bench. But you see Bedard, that kid just wants to win. He, you know, literally, like, he'll skate to the bench without getting a shot or even a point. He's shaking his head, and he looks, hey, yeah. That's a winner. That's who I want on my team. And I don't think we have enough of those on this team right now. There's guys that, you know, they're losing 4-1 ugly, and they'll zoom in on the team, and you got guys kind of bumping each other and smiling. It's not really fun to lose. You know, you shouldn't be so happy. I feel like Hawks, they were competing hard at times. You know, we lose one goal games real close and say like we pulled a goalie, they get another empty netter. But I give a lot of credit to Mrazek because some of these games the Hawks had no business being in. And that guy really stood on his head. And it's crazy to say he's playing at a top 10 goalie level, like in the league. And he's just on a really bad team. And I thought it would have been great to flip this guy. I think teams would have been calling like, for sure, like Carolina, we go over New Jersey all the time. Like that's a guy who's, you know, he started with the Red Wings. He's from a winning kind of club and he's kind of been jumping all over the place, not getting a chance. And I'm really surprised the Hawks didn't try to flip him. I mean, I'm happy we got him because he'll keep you in games and stuff. But, whew, man, that would have been, we would have got a haul back for him, I think. Somebody would have been desperate.
He's probably in a place where, you know, he gets to play, you know, every day, which I'm sure that he likes, just being able to go out there and compete in the league, which, like you had said, you know, he really hasn't had that chance. So, I mean, he did in Detroit, because I remember him playing very well in Detroit.
Yeah, him and Howard, right?
But since then... Yeah, but since that was when Howard kind of, it was really odd, man. You know, they had with Jimmy Howard, he was good for a while. And then I don't know what happened, man. He just got bad. And then Mrazek came in and it was actually like the same exact story. He came in, he was really good for a while. And then he kind of had to bow out there in Detroit. I'm not sure what happened.
They were losing like, you know, all those studs that, you know, have been a big part of that 19-year playoff run. Or whatever it was, it might have been 21 in a row, but you know, Zetterberg was retired, Datsyuk was gone, and I mean, the team was like in a, you know, like how kind of like we are right now, a transition where you're trying to develop young guys, and I don't even think Larkin played with that, you know, that group. So I know he went to Carolina, Mrazek, and he shared the net, and they were really good that year, and I can't believe they let both of the goalies go, and I think they went with Freddie Anderson, which I still like. Yeah, he's good, but the dude, I feel like we said it all the time. He's hurt, and he's still hurt. And I watched the Carolina Hurricanes play two games ago.
Big surprise.
Did you see the 2-2 game? It was tied. The Russian kid that they got, that they really believe in this kid. I forget his name, but he skated up to the blue line almost to get the puck. He fired it right into the guy's shin pads, and the Canes lost. It was a really ugly goal. Like, dude, stay in your net. There's no reason for that. Wow. And I saw, remember Nick from 30 on 30 Broadway, the boys? He said the perfect tweet. He's like, I'll say it again. This is why these guys don't fear me in the play. I don't fear them in the playoffs. They don't have a goalie. And he's dead on.
Yeah, it's the same story every year, but you know, we can get onto that in a little bit later. Just wanted to talk about Mrazek. He has that opportunity to play, and in reality, it gives the Blackhawks what they really need, a goalie that they need for right now while the young guys develop and are getting ready to come up. And we really probably won't have one of our goalie prospects up and playing up until maybe another 3 years. And because Soderblom is, I don't know if he needs more playing time, but it seems like he's worse now than he was before. Are you seeing that with Soderblom? Do you think that Soderblom needs more playing time? Do you think he needs to go back down to the AHL? Like, what do you think his deal is?
I hate being tough on goalies. I hate it. I think he's young. I mean, even with Reichel, you only gave him a year in the AHL, and clearly he's too good to play in that league, but goalies are different. I think he kind of needs to see the net every day. You're not learning sitting on the bench with this team. You know, like maybe 2010 when you're sitting behind like Niemi, you'll learn a little bit and you'll have a good defense going in there. You're pretty confident, but we're giving up shots 33 seconds into the game. You know, even if it's not 33 seconds, it's the first shot on net you're giving up. You're already playing behind. That's not a good thing for a goalie. I don't want to see the Hawks give up on him. I know people are very, like, really quick to jump on goalies, but you got to look at the team in front of you. I think even Bedard's first game back, I think we talked about, he made three mistakes in one shift, and then they go the other way and score, and they're like, Soderblom's terrible. Well, okay, guys, he got through five guys, and our guy made a mistake three times, and you got to call that out too. So, yeah, maybe he might need some conditioning down there in the A, Rockford. Give him some, you know, consistent starts, and we'll see. But I keep hearing that this Drew Commesso is the next guy. But this is, it's hard, man. Go, like, look at Crawford. It took him a long time to finally get it. But when he got it, it was worth it.
Yeah.
You know, you want to see the guy have a long career, but he played almost 8 years in the minors, I want to say. So sometimes it takes a while for goalies. Look at Tim Thomas. He didn't make the NHL until he was like 36, and he won a cup and almost won more with Boston. So you never know. You got to be patient with guys, especially goalies. You got to be very patient with.
You know, the last couple of games, you know, the Hawks lost to the Avs. You know, that's kind of predictable, but you know, I don't think the Columbus is that good, and they've had the Hawks' number this year.
Yeah, that was probably the worst game I've ever seen the Hawks play. I mean, it was ugly. You got Connor Bedard still getting pushed around. Nothing's done. I mean, he got pushed around after the puck was in the net. The Hawks have scored their, and I'm like, how are you letting that happen? And this is the second game in a row. Yeah, he took a slash from Josh Manson. I've gotten arguments with guys. It looked like a love tap, but when you're not expecting to get hit, your arm, your back's turned, and you take a slash, especially where your glove ends and your whole shoulder or your chest protector ends. There's exposed skin there. There's not padding, so it does hurt. And they're calling Connor a pussy and stuff like that, and he's not. You know, I mean, give me a break, but. You got to protect your teammates.
It hurts like hell to get slashed on the wrist,
especially
dude.
When you're skating to the bench, not seeing a guy wind up to make a slash. It's not like you're looking at him and you kind of can brace yourself for it. I mean, it's another thing like, okay. So you got that hit, and then you got the hit yesterday where he was hitting from behind into another guy face first. Good thing he had that shield on, the bubble. But still, like, how do you not see that if you're his line mate? You're his defenseman, and you saw that? I would be like, frick the goal, and don't touch our stud here. I mean, 18-year-old,
Yeah.
The Hawks need a guy that is going to protect his teammates. Like, that's his, like, Ryan Reeves, Matt Rempe on the Rangers. This guy.
I thought that's what Foligno was supposed to do.
But here's the thing. Foligno has never had that role in his life. Foligno's been a top six guy. He's getting older now. Now he's more of a role guy, leadership kind of quality dude. He's not a guy that's going to. He will do it, but he shouldn't have to. You should have guys. Well, right. And then you hear the arguments. I don't want to waste a roster spot. Shut up. We have 8 spots that are wasted roster spots right now. We can afford to keep this kid protected for a couple seasons. Look what they did with McDavid. He had Lucic for a couple years. Crosby had George Larocque and Gary Roberts, 2 freaking maniacs. You know, he was getting bullied around with a Darian Hatcher for years when Hatcher was on the Flyers. Yeah. He was ruthless to Crosby. And then they finally, like, hey, dude, we got to protect Sid. They bring in Larocque. Larocque was a freaking phenomenal enforcer, and he could play. The guy would put up maybe 15, 20 points a season if he wanted to, and if he got the opportunity. I'm sure he would, but the Hawks got to start thinking about that because this kid's 18. He's been injured already with a pretty big hit. Breaking your jaw is kind of a big deal, so I would like to see them get, you know, a Matt Rempe character, a guy in the minors, a big kid that isn't afraid to go and, you know, stick up for his teammates. Lay some big hits down, change the emotions of the game. I mean, this is something that needs to be done because what they have now, it's kind of pathetic to watch. It's like, wow, we're getting pushed around and literally nothing's happening.
Yeah, we need like a Marty McSorley Jr. or something like that. Yeah,
Dave Semenko, you know, Bobby Probert, anybody. I mean, but look, Yzerman talks about Probert still, like even Gretzky. He's like, if I didn't have those guys, I was always looking over my shoulder. Like, he's like, I felt like these guys were my guardian angels. I felt comfortable and I could play my game.
Yeah.
Connor's playing physical lately. Have you noticed that? He's throwing his body around. He's protecting himself. Well, yeah, he has to because no one else is going to do it for him. That's just the thing.
Yeah. That's too bad. Do you think that there's just a sign of free agent for like that protector type of role, or should we bring up a kid from the minors who's, hungry to make it in the NHL, kind of like Rempe is?
You don't see that anymore, though. These guys have never had opportunities to do that because a lot of these leagues, they don't even have fighting anymore. Like the Quebec, the Q, they call it. They don't fight. They don't have these guys. I will credit Davidson because I know I heard rumors of him trying to bring Lucic here. And he picked Boston. That was his first team. Right. He won a cup there, I understand. But he kind of said, okay, I'm going to get Foligno. But Foligno isn't that guy at this time.
Well, you got Perry, too. Perry,
come on, man. Perry is skinnier than Jarmelson. What's he going to do? I know he'll do it, but that's like...
He'll slash somebody. But, you know, he'll board somebody.
Forget Perry.
That's more of his thing.
He was a freaking 50-goal scorer at one time. He's more of a third-line agitator, power play guy, and big playoff moment dude. He's never been a guy who's just going to go out and play like Rempe and... Ryan Reeves, right? And I don't know if you watched that game last night. I watched that game from start to finish. It was phenomenal. Two teams that are playoff teams. You got the buildup of the heavyweight, current heavyweight guy, and the next up and coming kid. I felt like I was watching Goon with Stifler. You know, like this is like the same thing. Yeah. And, you know, they're Rempe's throwing his body around. Leafs fans are getting all upset. That was a charge. That was a dirty hit. Come on, that was a great hit. This is old-time hockey. And Reeves is like, hey, I don't like that. So eventually they went, and it was awesome. It was a great game. It went to a shootout. I mean, that's the kind of hockey I can't wait to see again.
Yeah, I mean, they might see each other in the playoffs.
They could.
If both teams can figure out a way to make it past the first round.
I mean, they have to, yeah. I think... This year, it feels different with the Rangers. They just re-signed Quick to a 1-year extension, which is a great signing from the beginning. You're taking all that pressure off Shesterkin late. And Shesterkin was the second star of the month. He lost once. He didn't lose once. Quick got the loss. But he was undefeated in the whole month of February. And he's looking good. He looked good last night. Not his fault. The Leafs played hard. New York ended up tying it late, and I just think like New York, their top six is playing great. Their goaltending's good. The defense has always been good. I just think you know, you got to get lucky and you need your goalie to get hot. And I think he's really hot right now. And I think it's like the right time, and he's not tired. They're not overworking him. And I've seen reports they want to bring in another top six guy. I'm not sure what they're going to do with Kako. I personally would love to see the Hawks maybe kick the tires on that one. Say, hey, what about Tyler Johnson? He's a good top six guy. Won two cups. Could be good for your team. Send us Kako.
I heard rumors of Reichel for Kako.
That'd be very interesting, dude. It'd be very interesting. I'd like to see more with Lucas here. But that would be interesting. I personally like to shed some salary in Tyler Johnson and give us Kako. Yeah. They might think we're crazy for saying that, but I mean, you're getting an experience.
What has he done for you?
And he hasn't done anything for you. You know, this is a guy that, hey, Kurashev, Kako, and Bedard, that'd be a pretty cool line next year. So something to think about.
Jonathan Quick signed for a 1-year extension with the Rangers.
Yeah, I love that move. Great. That's making Shesterkin better, having Quick in there. It's a great move.
I think he grew up a Rangers fan.
Yeah, I think he's from Connecticut. Usually the East Coast guys are, you know, all big Rangers fans.
Wow. So, Matt, Peterson got 8 years, $11 million a year. Elias Peterson. Yeah, he is such a quiet superstar, man. Kind of like Kyle Connor. These guys, like, you hear nothing about them, but they're huge for their teams. I think $11 million is fair for that guy. If you would ask for 12, I think that you would have to give it to him. Anything more than that, I think, would be an overpayment. And I don't think that the Canucks are in that boat where they need to overpay somebody.
I think he did the Canucks a favor, dude. I think he, like you said, he could have, if he, you know, he's a restricted free agent, but if somebody offer sheeted him $13 million a year, 7 years, whatever, I mean, I think that would have been fair too. He's going to get 100 points, probably again, back to back. He's the center that they've been looking for. It didn't take that long, but do you think like Vancouver's probably and Ottawa are probably like the least two favorite teams or like popular teams in Canada? I don't think they get enough love. You know what I mean? I feel like it's
definitely not Ottawa. Unless you live in Ottawa.
Ottawa and Vancouver, they don't get like the same praise as like, you know, obviously the Leafs and the Canadiens, but like these guys are, since getting Rick Tocchet, they're playing awesome hockey right now. And I'm just happy the Sedins are gone.
I would say that.
Like, I couldn't cheer for a team with like the Sedins.
Right. I would say that Calgary, Ottawa, Edmonton, and Vancouver are the kind of like, I don't want to say black sheep of Canadian teams, but Montreal and Toronto get so much publicity, and there's so much about these two squads that it takes away from, I think, all four of those other teams.
Yeah, I mean, you got Edmonton with the best player in the world, Canadian kid.
Yeah, but still, even with McDavid, like McDavid and Draisaitl, they make that. Like, they have Edmonton in the conversation right now. As soon as they're gone, Edmonton will drop off the face of the earth like they were before they came. If you have Toronto and Montreal, these two teams, they've lost for like the last 50 years.
Yeah.
Last 50 years, probably 34 Montreal.
In the 90s.
But it's been forever for the Leafs. And you can't get into a Leafs game, man. You cannot get tickets to Leafs game.
Yep.
You know, and it's not the same for the other four squads.
I think Edmonton are getting, like, the kids love McDavid, obviously. So I think, like, they're just big throughout Canada because of McDavid, probably. But, dude, don't forget, like, Gretzky was there. They were a powerhouse. And, I mean, if I'm in Canada, I'm probably going to cheer for the Oilers. I just can't stand the Leaf fans. I can't stand the French Canadians. I just don't care for them.
That's because you were born in America.
Yeah, but like that's the thing. Like a lot of these American kids, when they're there, like Kachuk, we talked about this last year. Like, how can you not want to play in Canada? It's like he's American. It's not a big deal to him. He wants to play in the sun, you know, have nice weather around him, and get paid $8 million, $9 million a year, and then even
tax
pretty much even turn the team around to make it to the final his first year there. That's how crazy it is. So, right. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it is a little too much with, especially Montreal right now. They're garbage. I'm sorry. They're not that good. Yep. And yes, they got Matthews with Marner, all the guys. But I mean, how isn't it old getting bounced early? I just would be like, this is annoying, dude. It's been how many years? At least 55 years since we won a cup. So we need a change, you know?
It would be the equivalent of having like Taves and Kane and the boys, but not winning. Do you know what I mean?
Kill
you. Like that's essentially what they have in Toronto. It would be like having Taves and Kane and Sharp and Seabrook and Crawford and Dunks and not winning anything. You're like, you know what, these guys are studs, we can't get rid of them, but at the same time we haven't won anything with them, so what do? We just keep re-signing them,
paying them big bucks.
It's the same money result
with the season tickets and our brand.
That's really the privilege that they have, man, is that it kind of like the Bears in Chicago, dude. It doesn't matter what they put out on the ice. The fans are always going to come in. The bottom dollar is not going to be affected whether they win a Stanley Cup or not. That's what probably the main problem in Toronto is that it does not matter if they win a Stanley Cup. The fans will always show up.
And they're making money.
Just like the Cubs.
And the Bears.
Yeah, man, and they're making money. Selling jerseys. They've got, you know, they might have a 70-goal guy this year. And they might not make it past the second round. They haven't made it.
I will credit the Leafs though. I believe that Kyle Dubas, he tried. Like he went all in, and they got to play. He put the best team he could assemble, and like now this guy inherited this core. They're going for it. I think. I mean, they're trying. Same with the Cubs. They're you know, it took longer, but I think they're trying again. The Bears, same shit every year. I mean, I'm not a football guy, but I hear this every year. The Bears are going to be good every year. By the fourth week, we want a new coach and we want a new quarterback. It's been like this for the last decade. I feel like there's some teams that they don't care. That let's just make our money, sell the jerseys, you know, do our thing and pretend like we care, like we're going to bring in a free agent and stuff like that. I hope the Hawks don't get like
and
that.
And they raise season ticket prices every single year, and the Bears lose
What's happening with Chicago, with the Blackhawks. It's insane. They raise ticket prices too, and I think it's because of one kid. People want to see Connor play, but I mean, we have to put a team around him. This is, I call Bedard like ground zero. He's the first guy of the rebuild. We're building around him, and I think we got a long way to go, dude. I think we got 4 or 5 years. And we need somebody to step up and give the Hawks an identity, because they just, I don't know what they're doing. The defense is brutal. Just mental mistakes all the time. Seth Jones shouldn't be making mistakes like that. He's been in the league for a long time. And that's just, it's killing the young guys. Like, that's like, who are we like looking up to here? Like, how are we learning off these guys? So I'd like to see the Hawks do something free agency. I would even like the Hawks to try to make a push to get Kaner back. You'll make the fans happy. And I mean, honestly, if I'm Bedard and you bring Patrick Kane back, a guy I idolized and just watched him wreck our team a week ago, this is a guy I would love passing me the puck, because Bedard needs to shoot the puck, because he's going to be like Matthews, in my opinion. He's getting the assists now, but we need to see him shoot more.
You know, he's such a good passer, though. It's almost like a waste not to have him just play comfortably with this game. To be honest with you, if you really think about it, having Patrick Kane would be great for Kane, because you're looking at two guys that, you know, Kane's ability to, like, is he going to shoot or is he going to pass is probably his number one weapon, because goalies don't know what he's going to do. When you think he's going to pass, he shoots. Mm-hmm. When you think he's going to shoot, he passes. When you have somebody like that playing with Connor Bedard, that would be great for Bedard, because he could do whatever he wants. He could shoot it. He could pass it. He could do whatever he wants. Having those guys play together, I think, would be great. It would be great for Bedard to have that kind of like that trigger man there. Trigger man slash setup man, even though that I'm sure Kaner is going to try to set him up as much as he can, because that's just his natural game right there.
Yeah, earlier in his career was Patrick Kane's coming down on a 2-on-1. That guy's, he's definitely going to pass. And then I feel like as the years went on, he started firing the puck. And dude, you need to do that more. And I like, you know, obviously you got Matthews and Marner coming down on a 2-on-1. If I'm a goalie, I'm challenging Matthews because I know he's going to shoot the puck. So Kaner's got that unpredictability. It's, yeah, that's a very good trait to have, and that would absolutely help Connor.
What about, you know, on the back end, man? Is it safe to say it's time to move away from some people we have on the back end to let some of these kids play? Or is this like a Richardson playing, you know, the game here with Davidson so that they're dog shit and we get the best pick absolutely possible?
Yeah, I would like to see, you know, that move on from probably Murphy and, if you can, Jones, just to eat that. I don't think anyone's going to touch that salary, though. But unless you're the Coyotes, because they're dog shit again. There was a little run there. The Coyotes are back. They just lost 14 games in a row. Okay, they're back to normal. Yeah.
I made some money off of them, man.
Glad you did. Maybe you can give a little money and donate it so they could buy a new arena. Because it'd get old playing in a little building like the Oakland Ice Arena. But I think, you know, if you can move that salary, do it. Someone wants to, and if you got to, you know, put a draft pick with them to get rid of them, hey, do it. So we got time and we got those. So I would like to see Nolan Allen up. I seen some videos of Del Mastro getting a game-winning goal from Lucas Reichel last night. I'd like to see him. And, you know, I go back to all the time, 06, Keith and Siebes played 82 games together, I think. They made tons of mistakes, but who cares? Look what it got us. They got that game experience together. They learned the pro life, the traveling, and eventually we have to do that. And I get in arguments with guys all the time. They're like, well, we got Frank Nazar coming up. Okay, how do you know he's not going to be in the minors next year? How do you know he's even ready? It's just a what if, you know? So these guys are, we're not going to have Connor Bedard guys every time. It probably won't happen again where we draft a kid and he's right up to the first line. I just don't see that happening. I mean, we got lucky with Kane and Taves back-to-back. I just don't see that happening again. It would be cool, but a lot of these picks, they're going to need time just in the AHL. Even Oliver Moore, we don't know. He's ripping it up in college, but, dude, from college to the AHL, it's a huge jump. So they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to be good next year. We got Oliver Moore coming up and Frank Nazar. How do you know that? Like, based on paper? No, it's what ifs. It's what ifs. So I think it's going to be a while. You got to just, I mean, to be safe, you got to think Oliver Moore and Frank are going to be at least a year in the minors. Don't you think? At least, unless they have an amazing preseason. But even then, you can't get a good look off them that way. It's just preseason. These guys are just going through the motions and getting ready for the season. It's not competitive hockey. So we'll see. And I think this kid that is in Boston, what's Celebrini? Is he the top dog this year?
Yeah, Macklin Celebrini.
He looks good.
I think that's how you say his name.
It is college. The Hawks have signed guys out of college after their seasons, and they call them up. I've seen it all the time, and they're not even, you know, top six guys yet. They're not even close, and I've seen the Hawks do it. I think they signed a couple Hobie Baker winners over the years, and call them up and kind of showcase them a little bit. They're sent down within two games. They're like, yeah, there's no way this guy's ready. So it's a process, man. You gotta think of, just on the safe side, they need a year in the AHL, each one of them. So hopefully this Celebrini, if we do get the first round pick, that's even another what if we might not even get this kid. So we don't even know who the second ranked guy is or the third ranked guy is. So it's all a what if.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Davidson definitely does his homework on draft picks. And I think it's, from what he's done so far, I think it's pretty safe to say that he's going to do the right thing. But at the same time, we need to temper our expectations on what we're expecting out of these players. Because of not doing that, we're in the, you know, we're at where we're at with Lucas Reichel, because Connor Bedard just came in and, you know, he kind of stole the show, and everyone was thinking that Lucas Reichel was going to come up and do the same thing. And he needs time, man. Yeah. There is a huge difference between the AHL and the NHL. You know, there should actually be another league in between of there, guys who...
There could be.
Instead of getting sent down to the AHL, there's another league that they play in because there's such a huge difference between the two. And you know, Lucas Reichel is getting the, you know, the short end of the stick here. You know, Luke Hughes... I mean, not Luke Hughes. Jack Hughes was able to play his first 2 years, you know, and he was dog shit his first 2 years. Brutal. And then he had a great season last year with 99 points. You know, we can even take into Alexis Lafreniere in New York. He was a banger for like the first 2-3 seasons of his contract. Now he's actually starting to show what he can do in the NHL. It took quite a long time for that.
He looked good last night too. I really watched him. He was a factor out there every shift, and that
a lot of
Rangers fans think he's going to be a 100-point player one day. And you know what? You said that to me last year, I'd laugh in your face, but after watching him last night, looking at his production, I sent out a stats of Lafreniere. I think this is his fourth year. He's on pace for 20 goals, I think. You know, the first 3 years, he was just, like you said, a third-line banger. And now you move him up to the role where he should be, he's producing. And that just shows you, like, you have to do it right by Reichel. You can't put this guy in the fourth line. He's not going to produce. He's not going to even produce on the third line. It's not his game. So
it's not his game.
I guess I agree.
Like, same thing with Kurashev, dude. Yep. Look at the leash we've given Kurashev. It's nothing.
Oh, and, my goodness.
Reichel hasn't gotten a quarter of that.
No, Kurashev got so many. He was, I'll be honest, beginning of the year, I couldn't believe they re-signed him. Because what has this guy got to offer? You got to credit Bedard, a lot of it. Bedard is the reason why he's got an emergence. But the first three seasons without Bedard, I thought the Hawks should have kept Pius Suter. I thought he was better than Kurashev. I thought he was way better than Kurashev. But they kept him, and this year, Kurashev's out, you know, overplaying his expectations. He's you know, he had a nice goal last night, I think. He's 2 points, actually. He's producing. He's a top-line player on this team right now. And, you know, I credit him. He's probably going to get a decent contract if the Hawks want him. And I think Connor really enjoys playing with him. They got a little chemistry together. But I still think they're missing that game-breaker type of guy on that line. If you really want Connor to hit that next level, they're going to need a guy like a Kaner, just someone who's going to just so good with the puck. I think that Pettersson, if they weren't going to re-sign him, I would go all in for this guy. I would trade. I'd give anybody they wanted to. Can you imagine Pettersson playing with freaking Bedard? It'd be unbelievable. We'd be awesome for years. But I think Kyle should take a chance on something like that. If the opportunity is there, I would go for it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let us know what you think, guys. This is Mike and Matt. We want to know what you guys think on the who can the Blackhawks pick up? Who can fit in that slot of playmaker for Bedard? I mean, I always thought that it was going to be Reichel's. It was Reichel's job to kind of just step into, and it's been anything but that for some reason. I don't know if it's because he's one of, you know, Stan's draft picks or what have you, or something like that. But, you know, we'll see. Let us know what you think. This is the Chicago Tomahawk. We're out of here.